All right, this morning, how many Bibles you have in the room this morning? Would you lift them up? All right, let's stand as we read together, if you would, please. 2 Kings chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let me just make mention. When he says that the place in which we dwell with thee, these are prophets of God, and now they have assembled in Elisha's house, we understand, but their numbers grew to the point that they were too crowded. And when it says it is too strait for us, simply means that they didn't have enough room in the house of Elisha. And so they started a building program. He said, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. Let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. And so he went, Elisha, with them. And when they were come to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. The man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, he said, take it up to thee, and put out thy hand, and he took it. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the good spirit of God that we feel. Thank you, Lord, for the good presence of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the singing. And Lord, I pray now that you might unctionize thy servant as we stand again to proclaim thy wonderful words of the word of God. I pray for power. I pray for unction. I pray the Holy Ghost power. Lord, move upon this congregation like you never have in the past. Speak to every heart. If there's one here today that know thee as Savior, Lord God, this is the day. They need to trust thee as Savior. Our life is as a vapor. It's fleeting very fast. I pray this morning, Heavenly Father, move upon us for that one today that needs a touch from God. Lord, on the outside, they look like they've got it all together, but on the inside, they're hurting. They're breaking. Wow. Oh, God, move upon us today. And everything that you do, Jesus, we'll give you glory. We'll give you praise and honor, for you are worthy. And all God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated, beloved. Hold your Bible open here. And I want to preach to you on this subject this morning in verse number 6, in the last part of the verse. And the iron did swim. I want to preach to you on that subject today, on the iron dead swim. Now, here's the background of this passage to bring you up to speed. Elijah, the great man of God, had been taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha, his predecessor, stood by him that day and said, Elijah, I want a double portion of the Spirit of God on you. Wouldn't to God today we'd have some folk and some preachers that say, I want a double portion. Amen. Oh, listen, friend, without the power of God, we'll not do anything. We can make a lot of noise, but we won't accomplish anything. And so Elijah said, Elijah, I want a double portion. When you get ready to leave this world, I want a double portion. Elijah said, well, then I tell you what, you got to go with me the places I go. And if you see me the day I'm taken up, the Lord will grant you that request. And so as Elijah was taken up into heaven, the mantle of God fell and fell upon Elisha. And then after Elijah was gone up into heaven, Elisha returned to his house, returned back into Samaria, the Bible said. Now we find in chapter number 6, there was a group of seminary students. There was a group of men, young men, that were studying and they were preparing themselves. And they would meet together with Elisha, according to what I read. And they would meet in his house in verse number 1. But their numbers began to grow. And to the point that it was too confining. They did not have the room that they needed. And so they said, why don't we build us a little place, a secluded place. They looked around, they said, let's go down to the River Jordan. And there beside the river, where it's a nice quiet place to study the Word of God, let's build a little house. And Elisha said, that's a good idea, boys. Let's do that. And they said to Elisha, will you go with us? You can help us pick out a spot. So Elisha, the man of God, went with them. But then as they got down there, these seminary students, one of them was not able to purchase an axe. Now, don't be afraid. Amen. I told Brother Craig if he'd bring me an axe, I promise I wouldn't get to chopping. But y'all better pay attention. Amen? Now you might say, and by the way, that's a fireman's axe, I do believe. And so this seminary student, he needed an axe, and he went and borrowed one. And so now here's the picture. I do believe the River of Jordan was probably, I'm right-handed, it was probably flowing down to the left of him. And they were having a big old time. They were out there chopping wood. The house probably would have been made of stone, but the rafters, y'all know what the rafters are, that's the roof part, would have been made of wood. And so the seminary student, as he began to chop and lay hold upon that beam, all of a sudden, and I bring this because I was, Brother Steve, you and I probably know what one of these things can do. You've used one of these. And Brother Chip, you've used one, I'm sure. And I know you have, and I have. Some folk may not understand when we talk about an axe that this is an axe head, and this here is that axe handle. And as soon as that seminary student was a chopping wood, all of a sudden, the axe head slipped off, and it went into the muddy River Jordan. And as soon as it hit the water, she was gone out of sight. Sunk all the way to the bottom into the mud. And there it lay. And that seminary student cried and said, alas, the axe in which I was using is lost. The axe head, it's gone. But more so, it was borrowed. And he went to the man of God. And the Bible said here, the man of God asked him, where did it fall? That seminary student took him to the very spot. And he said, right here, man of God, is where the axe head went into the water. Elisha goes over and finds a stick, did not use the same handle, but he finds a stick, cuts down a stick, throws it into the water, and look what the Bible said. The axe head did not float, but it swam. That's a big difference. I'm a good floater. Praise God for that. Amen. My wife, when we do get in a swimming pool or something, son, I tell you what, I don't know, God made me, I guess I got a lot of buoyancy, but I can float. Now, I may not be able to swim, but I can float. Amen. Now, it didn't say the axe head just floated. It swam. And then the Bible said, for this seminary student, take it up, and now you can use it again. There are three things I see as I studied this week. I want to share them with you. I believe it'd be a help to you. If you have a pen and paper, write them down. Number one, there's a crisis. And that is that the axe head was lost. Look in verse number 3 of chapter number 6. Elisha has been asked to go with these seminary students to help pick out a secluded spot for their house to be built. Verse number 4, as I mentioned a moment ago, likely the house would have been made of stone, The rafters, the roof, the beams that would have held up the roof would have had to have been made out of wood in order for it to be fashioned into an A-roof. And so here, all this group, I don't know how many it was, but this group was gathered together, and every one of them was a-working. Notice something, though, as they were working, one of these young men had a mishap. The axe head in which he was using, all of a sudden as he was swinging that axe, the head left the handle, and now he has a problem. The axe head did not come off all at one time. Little by little by little, it began to slide until it was gone. And beloved, once it was gone, it did not fall on the ground where they could have picked it up. It fell in the water. My friend, he did not realize he had a problem until it was too late. Now the others were working, but he could not, because beloved, if we were to be able to take this axe head off of this handle, you could take this handle and you could swing it from now till the chickens crow in the morning, till the cows come home, and you're not going to chop any wood with just the axe handle. Y'all with me? You need the axe head. And that axe head, as I say, I'll probably say it again, that axe head is a symbol of power. It's a symbol of might. But notice something here. The axe handle by itself was not any good without the axe head. Without it put together, it wasn't any good. This axe is made for a purpose. Now, this has come from the fire department. I can only imagine that this axe may have been used to try to rescue somebody. Perhaps that it was used, I don't know, I didn't ask Brother Craig, but maybe it was used to tear a hole in the roof to vent the smoke and the fire out of a roof. I'm sure it has been used because I can see where there has been, it's not a new axe, and there's indentions upon it and there's scratches upon it. So it has a purpose. It has a reason for existing. It has a job to do. And beloved, may I say to you this morning, you have a job to do. You have a purpose. The reason that God is leaving you here and you're breathing air and you're putting one foot in front of the other, God still has a job for you to do. And when your job is over and when you've done all you're supposed to do, God will call us home to glory. But in the meantime, you have a purpose. Notice something here. The axe head was made for a purpose to cut wood, but now it was lost. Where did he lose it, by the way? It fell into the muddy Jordan River. It sank down to the bottom, laying in the mud, good for nothing. If that axe head, Brother Chip, if it had remained at the bottom of that river, it would have rusted and decayed. It would have been good for nothing. And beloved, may I say to you today that your life, that if we do not serve the Lord, you may have money, you may have fame, you may have fortune, you may have popularity, you may be the best employee at work, but if you are not serving God, your life is amounting to nothing. It is, my friend, God's purpose in your life for you to serve Him. But here I want you to see something. This young man faced a crisis in our life. You're going to face a crisis. Sometimes a crisis is going to come more and more and more. How many of you could relate to this? When you get over one crisis, you got another one that's piggybacked on the back of it. And then just about when you can breathe and get your head above water, all of a sudden another crisis comes. And it seems like one builds upon another. It starts out small, and then it gets a little bigger and a little bit bigger and a little bit deeper. And finally, you say, hey, what are you going to do when the crisis hits your happy home? And it will. There's coming a day. You may be singing the songbirds. You may be shouting glory. But there's coming a day that a crisis is going to come to your home. What are you going to do? This axe head, I said, is a symbol of power. And can I tell you something? Without the power of the Holy Spirit of God in your life and upon your life and in our church, do you think, listen, I think Joanne's one of the best piano players I've ever heard. Say amen. Amen. But beloved, I know this. Without the power of God, she's just running up and down the keyboard. Amen. Friend, let me tell you something. You may have talent and you may have ability and you may have strength and you may have might. And you may say, preacher, I've got this all together. I've got a good job. I've got a good house. I've got a good home. I've got a good family. May I tell you something? Without the Holy Ghost of God in your life, you have absolutely nothing. It's all in vain. It's sand. It's going to go through your fingers. It's going to be ashes. It's just going to be burnt up. You need the power of the Holy Ghost of God on you. Look in verse 6. This young man, this young seminary student, lost his axe head. And the Bible said in verse number 6, notice, Elisha said to him, where fell it? Where did it fall? And beloved, can I tell you something this morning as a preacher, and I love you to death, but until you deal with the fall of man and realize that we are born into sin, that we have birth into sin, we are sinners born in this world by sin, and we are sinners, my friend, by nature. And friend, we need a Savior. Until you recognize that you're lost without Jesus, you'll never be found. Until he recognized, he said, where did it fall? He said, it went in the water right there. It sank to the bottom. He recognized that there was a fall involved. And friend, because of Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I've talked to people in my 40-some years of ministry. I've met some people and they'll tell me this, look me straight in the eye. And they'll say this, preacher, I'm a good person. And I'll say, no doubt you are. But being good is not going to take you to heaven. Being a church member is not going to take you to heaven. Until you recognize that you are lost without God and on your way to a devil's hell, you'll never be saved. But glory to God, the moment that you say, I'm lost, he said, I'm here to save you. I'm here to rescue you. I'm here to pick you up. I'm here to restore you. Amen. Number two, I find a crisis, but then I find a catastrophe. That's a big word. I had to look it up. Catastrophe. Thank God for word check. Amen. Whatever that is. Here's the catastrophe. The borrowed axe head. Look in verse number 5. Not only was the axe head lost, but it was borrowed. Have you ever, am I the only one in here, have you ever noticed that every time you borrow something, it breaks? Am I the only one? The other church I pastored, I was a younger man, and we needed to wash outside the church. And one of my deacons said, I've got a brand new pressure washer. I said, well, praise the Lord. He said, you can come over and get it and wash the church down. I said, well, glory. I went by and got that thing.
And I was out there just to, you know, and laid the wand down. A little while later, I went and picked it back up, and it wouldn't work. Little did I know, Brother Steve, in them fine instructions, it said to pull that trigger every 2 minutes, or either the pressure will build up, and it'll blow this thing apart on the inside. You said, what'd you do? I took it back to him. I said, I'm finished. I'm done. Have you ever noticed, though, you borrow something and it breaks? And then once it breaks, you feel like it's your responsibility to fix it or replace it.
That's a good place to say amen. It is. But now, look in these verses. To make matters worse, the seminary student, if he had had money in the beginning, he wouldn't have needed to borrow it. If he could have afforded to purchase one, he would not have needed to run down to the U rental place to his brother or somebody and said, hey, have you got an axe that I can borrow? If he could have bought it in the first place, he wouldn't have needed to borrow it. But he could not. And notice what the Bible said here. Literally, here's what it says in these verses. I have nothing wherewith to pay it back, and I cannot work without it. Here's an interesting observation. If you want to turn there, you can. If you're not, just listen. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Write it down if you can look it up this afternoon. Brother Jeffrey preached a message on this. I remember that. I thought it was good. Here, it's been 2 or 3 years ago. And I thought, man, that's good. I had never thought about that. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 22. Here, let me read this to you. Here, the Bible said, and so it came to pass, in the day of battle, there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan his son was there found. In the day of battle, in the day of battle, in 1 Samuel 13, 22, in all the land of Israel, there were no swords, there were no spears except two. And they were Jonathan's and Saul's. Everybody else did not have anything to fight with. You said, man, what explains that? Verse 19 of the same chapter. Here's what verse 19 says. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. You see, this axe was a precious commodity. Even if the young man had money, he couldn't buy one. You know why? Because there's none to be found. There's only one sword, two swords in the land of Israel back in 1 Samuel there. It wasn't like you could go down to Walmart. It wasn't like you could go down to the hardware store. It wasn't like you could go to Lowe's Home Improvement. My friend, there was none to be found. It was a precious commodity. Not everybody had one. And the people that had it, they guarded it. They protected it because you may not get another one. Y'all with me so far? Everything that you have, let me get down here to say this. Everything you own, every dollar that you earn, every piece of jewelry you have, every stitch of clothes that you have in your closet, ladies, all the shoes that you have bought, all the bling bling that you may have, all the guns that we've got, Brother Chip, and the ammunition that we've got, and everything we have, every car, if it's a good one, it's a clunker or whatever. Hey, everything we have is borrowed. We don't own a thing. It all belongs to Him. It all belongs to God. You
say, no, sir, I've got my statement why I bought this. No, he gave you the job. He gave you the know-how. He put you in that place. You were able to earn the money. You were able to buy it. But friend, God owns it all. And if you don't believe that, you just wait and see. If you rear back and say, I got news for you. That car that's under, that's mine. And all of a sudden a deer runs out in front of you and you total that thing. You'll see who, amen. First-hand experience. I've killed more deer with my vehicles than I have with a gun. Man, I've killed two with the truck and one with the car. And here's the point. Y'all agree with me this morning? Everything that we have, right down to our clothes, right down to our money, right down to our possessions, right down to the money in your pocket this morning in this church, it all belongs to God. He's only letting us borrow it. He's only, listen, if you don't, I don't check, see what people put in the offering plate. And we purposely did this morning because I don't want no person saying, well, they're building a preacher, a little old place out yonder. No, sir. It's not for the preacher. Thank God we're going to use it. Praise the Lord for that. But that's what, and so my deacon said, we're going to do that. We're going to go before the folks and we're going to ask. And every business meeting we've had, I've stepped out. If they want to talk about giving me something, I'm going to step out. You know why? Because it's not mine. Everything I got, what little I got, hey, it all belongs to God. And in one swoop of his hand, it could be gone. In one swoop of his hand, I could be bankrupt. In one swoop of his hand, it all could be stolen. In one swoop of his hand, I could lose my health and not enjoy any of it. Y'all with me? Number three. I find a cure. There's a crisis, a catastrophe, and a cure. The swimming axe head. Look in verse number 5. And the first thing the young man did was he went to the man of God. Can I have an amen right there? Verse 5. As one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Sister Joanne, he did not go to his friends and say, hey, buddy, my axe head, I lost it. What do you recommend me doing? He didn't go down to, he didn't get on Facebook and get on there and said, hey, I got some bad news, and put one of them frowny little faces on there and say, oh, I'm feeling emotional. I'm feeling depressed. I lost my axe head. What would you do? I need some help. Somebody help me. No, sir. What he did the right thing, is that he went to the man of God. The first place anybody needs to go is to the man of God. It's not your friends. It's not your acquaintances. It's not your family. When a crisis comes in your life, and they will come, you need to come to the man of God. You need to come to the house of God. You need to go before Jehovah God and say, Lord, I can't help it. I can't do it. It's bigger than me. I need your help. Smartest thing anybody could do is when a crisis comes in your life. Now hear this out. This young man could not fix his problem. Couldn't do it. I know I debated about saying this, but I'm going to say it. I like it. Me and my son, I don't know who else, we was out fishing out there in the ocean one day. And I had a pair of pliers. We done got caught some fish and getting that hook out of his mouth. I knew better before I did it. And on the back of my boat, there's a little I don't, well, you lift this door up and it's on top. So I just, you know what I did, Joanne? I took that pair of pliers and laid it back there on that door. And you know what happened? The next thing, when we hit a wave, them pliers went, and she's gone. I mean, it wasn't no use in worrying about it then because she's gone. And I surely wasn't going to swim down to the bottom of that ocean and get them pliers. Even though they're stainless steel, I wasn't going to do it. Friend, can I tell you something? There are many times in my lifetime, my family can relate to this. Brother Steve, there are many times in my lifetime that if I could fix it, I would try to fix it. In the churches I've pastored, if there was a problem, I try to fix it. Sometimes I did it trying to be doing what I thought was right, and God is saying, son, this thing's bigger than you are. This thing is larger. You ain't going to be able to fix it. You ain't going to be able to go down there and get it. You're not going to be able to solve this problem. But if you'll turn to me, if you'll trust me, what you need is a miracle is what you need. You don't need just a remedy. You don't need a Band-Aid. You need a miracle from the Lord.
Look what Elisha asking. Where did it fall? Walked over to the river, and he pointed there, and he said, wait a minute. Elisha, right there. Right there. Right there is where it fell. 1 minute that young man was happy. The next minute he was sad. 1 minute he had plans for the future. The next minute he had no hope for tomorrow. 1 minute he was serving the Lord. And the next minute he was on the sideline. If you don't get nothing else out, give me just the next few minutes right here. Have you ever had your dreams to vanish right before your eyes? Husband and wife stand before a preacher. They say those marriage vows. And then trouble comes. And all of a sudden that marriage that they thought would last forever, all of a sudden now that husband stands there and he says, what happened? Why did she leave me? Why did my marriage end in a divorce? A couple that has conceived, and the only thing they've ever wanted in their life was to hold a little baby in their hands. And they had already picked out a room and started to decorate it and started to paint it. And then somewhere along that pregnancy, they go to the doctor. And the doctor says, y'all come in here and sit down a minute. I got some bad news I need to tell you. That baby that you were expecting, that baby is, it's dead. And all of a sudden, every dream, every hope that you ever had, all of a sudden it vanishes out of sight. You ever had a business partnership? And you said, I'm going to take all the money that God has helped me to save and I'm going to invest it in this business. And then you have all these dreams of aspiration and you have these dreams that God's going to bless this business and it's going to grow and prosper. And then only to find out somebody else has mismanaged the funds. And now instead of having any money, you're looking at bankruptcy. Your dreams have vanished right before your eyes. A child that you've nurtured and cared for and loved. Mothers have gone down into the depths of death itself to bring them into this world, to breathe life into them. And that child, as it gets a little older,
turns his back on mom and dad and walks away from home and breaks their heart and cusses at them and turns to alcohol, drugs, and you say, oh, my hopes and my dreams and all my plans for the future are now, they're gone. They're gone. They vanish right before my eyes. God, what has happened? I've got a crisis in my life. I don't know what to do. Don't know where to turn. God, it looks like it's all gone. But God. When things get out of your hands, when things get out of your control, and you don't know what to do, where to turn, which way is up and which way is down, and every dream that you've ever had, every plan that you've ever made, all these dreams for the future, all these dreams of retirement, all these dreams of a comfortable living, all of a sudden they're dashed. All of a sudden they sink. All of a sudden they're gone. And you say, my God, what am I to do? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I'll make this short and sweet and to the point. That young man went over to the man of God, and he said, hey, I got a problem. And Elisha said, where'd it fall? He said, right here. And can I tell you something, friend? You'll find the Lord in the very spot where you walked away from him. Was it down there at the beer hall? Was it down there at the tavern? Where did you lose it? Was it sitting in front of a computer one night, looking at things you ought not to? What was it, talking to people that you should not have? Was it getting on Facebook and flirting around with somebody? You'll find it exactly where you lost it. And here's what Elijah did, and I've got to hasten. He went over, and he cut a stick, and he took that stick, and he threw it into the water. Now, there's a couple of different interpretations. I like this one. Instead of just any ordinary stick that he cut off of a tree, some Bible scholars say that Elisha took the time to fashion a stick as an axe handle so that it had the same size, proportion, length, everything. It was another axe handle that was like the old one, but it was a brand new one. And when he took that stick and he threw it into the water, that axe head began to swim to the top, fastened itself to the axe handle, and the young man could reach down and pick her up and use her again. You know what that stick symbolizes? Woo! At the cross, where I first saw the light. You know why any of us in here this morning have anything to say? It's because of the cross of Christ. You know why we're on this side of, you know why we're here today? It's because of the cross of Christ. It's because that one day, the cross, it made a difference in me. The cross, Calvary, made a difference in me. At the cross, I received my sight. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And friend, the cross will make a difference in your life. And the young man took it up and began to use it again. I close with three things. There are three miracles here in this story. First of all, there is a miracle of small things. Brother Steve, when I read this and I began to study on this and I began to think about this, I thought, God, why in the world would you put some kind of story like that in the Bible about this axe? But then it occurred to me, there is a miracle of small things. Do you realize this morning God knows your name? God knows where you're at. God knows all about you. And friend, just because you think it's small and it's insignificant and you think it doesn't matter, hey, go to the Lord with your problems, with your trials, with your crisis. He'll hear you. He'll listen. And He will answer you. There's a miracle of small things. But second of all, there is a miracle of supply. God will supply all of our needs. But the last thing, and I close with this. And this is... Woo! This is the best part, I think. There is a miracle of restoration. Down in the mud, in the filth, was that old axe head. Left alone, it would have rotted. Left alone, it would have rusted. Left alone, it would have served no purpose. But there's a miracle of restoration. In the miracle of restoration, that stick was cast into the water, a picture of Calvary, and that Calvary attached itself to that old axe head. I was a sinner, lost and undone, away from God, but God's only Son came to where I was, and He rescued me out of the filth, out of the muck, out of the mire, and He picked me up. Woo! And He dusted me, cleaned me off, and fixed me up. And thank God, I am a miracle of restoration. You are too if you're saved. Left alone, Brother Steve, that old axe would have decayed, rotted away. And beloved, this morning, left alone, a man is not worth a plug nickel. But in the hands of a master, He can do a mighty work.